married when this young man was encouraging me. I was sharing testimonies, and he said, Pastor, you'll be steady on this message and preach it continuously. How could God bring somebody from Nigeria to come and encourage me? How could God wake somebody up? I said, I want you to go to New Jersey and go there. I was sharing testimonies that the gospel is true. I said, Nigeria, I have all manner of messages. He said, God opened my eyes. He said, when I started to come to hear you, I was a young Christian. But I carried some of those messages, including the song you sing, repeating in my heart. And there were people sitting in the same church. In the same church. Somebody carried it from here to Nigeria. People sit in the same church, arguing with it. And they transformed his life. And God said, go back and tell him what that message has done for you. And encourage people to listen to it. The Lord knows how to help us. Can I hear amen? He knows how to encourage us. My heart has been so low these weeks that my wife will say, is there anything wrong with you? I'm telling you. And God sent somebody to say, no, keep doing what you're doing. The Lord is faithful. Can I hear amen? The Lord is what? That's true. I want to talk to us again this morning. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. It came to the point I thought like leaving, quitting. That's how I'm done. I said to the Lord, I said, I think this is, I need to leave. God, you are good. I want to sing. Lord, you are so good. Hallelujah. Praying with what? All manner of prayers. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with what? All prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You need to see how the Spirit of God communicates things to us, and we need to really be very, very attentive to what God is saying. One of the problems we have is we have not found or realized the value of the Word of God. When we come to church, we think we are in church just because it's Sunday morning. And we miss the whole reason why we come. It's to be fed. It's to be taught. The Sunday school becomes a very important thing that you must be there. Must be there. Becomes so important for you because you value God's word. And when you begin to value God's word, then you will give it attention. I mean, look at the young man came here, sat in this service, hearing the same thing. You give it attention because that's the wisdom that will promote you in life. Can I hear amen? That's the wisdom that will crown you with your head with what? Glory. That's the truth that when you know, it will set you free. That's the word that if you understand, then you can build faith and build shield that can quench every fiery dart that the devil throws at you. And he throws a lot. That is the word you live by every day. So, but when we don't think it's important, we think we have alternative. But what was it? Can I tell us something, please? Don't let the word educate you, because the devil is their God. Don't let the world what? Educate. Because the spirit behind them, their God is the devil. You will imbibe his wisdom. Let the spirit of God educate you in everything you do. Because he's the teacher that God sent to us. So when the spirit of God is communicating, we, the children of God, must give it attention. That's what the book of Proverbs says, my son, attend. It's easy to say it, but it's something that I and you and I need to know that that's a serious instruction. We must attend to it and honor it, respect it. It won't work for you unless you respect it. What you don't respect does not work for you. So here, the Spirit of God began to talk about prayer and supplication. I mentioned it. I said, these two words keep going together. Prayer and what? Supplication. Pray and supplication. And again, supplication with all saints. This is telling us that prayer comes with, there's a proper attitude to prayer. There's a proper attitude you bring to God when you pray. And that attitude is an attitude of praying with all your heart that the prophets began to talk about in the Old Testament and comes into the New Testament. The church is being told the same thing, that you don't see God absent-mindedly. You don't see God with a lukewarm attitude. You see God with, like, you're serious, like you mean it. You seek God like you know that this is the only place this thing happens. You seek God with knowing that he will do it. He has the power to do it. There's no other place I'm trusting except him. Your attitude speaks faith, speaks confidence, speaks reverence to God. You bring it to him. The Holy Spirit said prayer and supplication. When you pray, is this prayer in supplication? There are prayers we say absent-mindedly because we're not expecting anything. You know, it's just because they say, let us pray, and then we pray. And then we know, because the reason we know that we're not expecting anything is immediately after that prayer, we're making an alternative plan. Because that prayer is just religious thing we did. We never really expect anything out of it. And they say, yeah, Pastor, you know, we prayed. So the attitude, the proper attitude of prayer is to come with all your heart. And say to God, you are God indeed. You can do this. You have the ability to do this. Jesus said, do you believe I can what? Do it. Are you talking to me with the attitude that I can do this thing? Or are you talking to me with the attitude of fulfilling all righteousness, drowsing your conscience, and saying we prayed? We supplicate. We come with an earnest seeking. Honest seeking is sincere. Honestness. Seeking honestly is seeking sincerely, expecting something to happen. In 1 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul described how he prayed. He prays with supplication. He says, night and day we pray honestly. Then King James called it praying exceedingly. 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 The New Living Translation says, we pray honestly. Honest, to be honest is to pray with sincerity, with purpose, with expectation, with respect. You know, there's a way somebody is talking to you, say, my friend, your mind is not in this thing you're saying. But there's a way somebody is talking to you, you know he means what he's talking. Praise the Lord. So having said that's the attitude we bring in prayer, then the Bible teaches us that we pray with all manner of prayer. We pray with all types of prayer, not just one type of prayer. That Ephesians 6:18 Amplified says, with all manner of prayers and entreaty. You see, the word supplication is entreaty, to entreat. With all manner of prayers, not one type of prayers. Now, the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer, and not just in prayer. He helps us in life. Again, like I said at the beginning, don't let the world educate you and guide you. There are a lot of sound things that the world can teach you, but the Holy Spirit may not want you to go that route. Because his ways are not what? Our ways. So we need to let him educate us and teach us and instruct us in the way we should go. So when it comes to prayer, he is the one that helps me, you and I, in prayer. We rely on him. Because he told us to, like that, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our what? Infirmities. For we know not, brethren, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's God talking to you and me. So you don't know. You don't understand. Prayer is more than the church and the things. Prayer is having fellowship with the Father, being helped by the Spirit, and through the intercessory power of the blood of the Son. Prayer is a very powerful thing. Prayer is not something that you have to regiment and program. Prayer is your life. Prayer is your life. Prayer is living in the presence of God. Prayer is not what you wait for time for. Prayer is what you do all the time. Prayer is talking to God all the time. Prayer is consulting God all the time. This young man said, the Lord told me, don't do this. That's communication. That's prayer. You live in his presence all the time. You know before whom you live. You communicate with him. You talk to him in the bathroom, in the toilet, in the car, everywhere. You talk to him in the market. Lord, I want to buy this. Is it what I need? Do you want me to buy this? Lord, how do you want me to solve this problem? It's a continuous communication with God. It's living in the presence of God. It's walking with God. It's communing with God. Can I hear amen? We have programmed it as something you wait for. Something you wait for. It's good to have those moments that you reserve, that you talk to God. It's wonderful to have them. And we should have them. But don't relate with God in regimented fashion. When I'm finished with you now and I walk away from there, the next time I talk to you is in the evening. No relationship develops like that. No. When you walk away from there, don't forget that God says, I will never leave you or what? So, and that this, Tochukwu, God bless you. He said, yes, there's somebody with you there that can talk to him at any time. You can. The same thing with, you don't wait to confess your sin when you, no, if you do something wrong and you realize this, you say, Lord, I'm really so sorry. But right there, not tomorrow, right, just on the spot. So prayer is not what you wait for midnight or early morning. You can pray midnight if that works for you. You can pray 3 a.m. if it works for you. If you don't want to sleep, that's okay for you. People have different, whatever works for you, do that. But prayer is living in the presence of God, communing with God all the time. And so the Holy Spirit guides us in everything we do. He said, you don't know how to pray because we are limited by flesh. We live in the flesh. We're limited by knowledge. I could be praying for my brother here, but I don't even know the appropriate thing to ask God about him. I could be praying for what I see, but what he needs may not be that thing I'm seeing. May not be that thing I'm seeing. And so the Holy Spirit comes to show you what to pray about. And one of the prayers he can inspire in our lives is prayer of consecration or dedication or casting your cares on the Lord. I called it prayer of consecration. What did I call it? I want to hear you say it. Come on, say it louder. Prayer of consecration. Or dedicating something to God. Only the Spirit of God knows when to inspire any type of prayer in your life. But he teaches us from scriptures different types of prayer that the church should pray. We have prayer of agreement, we have prayer in the Spirit, we have prayer of faith, we have prayer of consecration, we have prayer of agreement. We have different types of prayer that the Spirit of God is teaching the church that we should pray. But he inspires it, he guides you in the one that he leads you to pray at the moment. So one of them is prayer of consecration. And what is consecration? Consecration is to be commit something into the hand of God. To consecrate. To what? Consecrate. Onyeka, can you come? Chigozie, I like your suit. If it's my size, you are not going with it. To consecrate. I want you to watch, please. No, come here so everybody will see. To consecrate is, let me assume that this is, well, it's not God. I'm just illustrating something. So, if I want to consecrate this man, I will take this man and hand over to him. I've dedicated him to him. What it means is, it's all yours. Set apart for his use. Given to him. Consecrate. Dedicate. When you come to Christ, when you come to Jesus, you give your life to what? To Christ. You dedicate it to him. You consecrate your life. You say, I'm sanctified. You're set apart for his use. That's what consecration means. That's what dedication means. It's to surrender. It's to give. You know this song we sing, I surrender. We should do it once. Shouldn't be surrendering every day. Once you surrender, you leave it what? With him. You sang it yesterday. You are singing it this morning. Tomorrow you sing it. The Lord will say, okay, when we would be done, give me and leave me. Yeah. So to consecrate is to, he didn't say you take, he will give you. It's to surrender. So this man belongs to him. So now he begins to, he loses control. He doesn't control anything anymore. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is to. So who makes the decision? But now you begin to make your decision. Now you're making your decisions. And he's not there. And he's not part of those decisions. Except the Lord builds. All these decisions are what? And what he's done is he's playing into the hand of the devil. Because those things he's doing is not the planting of the Lord, and the Lord will not defend it. Because the Lord told us that all tree not planted by my Father shall be what? Uprooted. So you are handing the devil what to uproot. But when you go back to him, now everything now is his planting. When he plants it, when he opens the door, no man can close. You don't have to struggle with the devil. Because when he plants it, cannot be uprooted. Can I hear amen? So consecration is to surrender to, is to hand over to, is to give to him. Thank you so much. Do you get what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Now, Paul prays this kind of prayer. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know what? Whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to do what? He's able to do what? He's able to do what? Keep that which what I have committed into his hand. There are things I've handed over to him. I committed them to his hand. It's called prayer of consecration. It's called prayer of dedication. Where you take things and hand over to him. Committed. He said he's able because I've given him those things, handed him over those things. So he's able to keep them. Committed them into his hand. It's called prayer of consecration, prayer of dedication. Peter put it like this, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your cares, what? Upon him, for cared for you. Casting all your cares. Onyeka, come back here. Casting what? Where is this supposed to be? Now, you know, remember, he come over here. You are not Jesus, but I'm making you one, temporary. Casting what? Is that what he said? How many? But after you cast, you go and carry. After you cast, you think he's not doing anything. Say, give me back. In short, you're not doing anything. Give me back. And then, in short, give me back. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Now, we think that these things don't matter, but they matter a lot. I want to make a statement. I want you to listen to me, please. You see, any burden you carry, the Lord will not touch it. You carry it. It's your decision. The day you hand it over to what? To him. It becomes his issue. Any burden you carry, it's yours. The day you hand it over to him, he keeps it. It becomes his. So Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. New Living Translation put it this way. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Amplified said, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately, cares about you watchfully. So what are you supposed to hand over to him? All your worries, all your anxieties, all your concerns, all those things that cause you sleepless night, worries, concerns, all of them qualify to come under prayer of consecration. All of them. All of them. And when Paul did this, that was when Paul was passing through tremendous persecution. Do you remember what Jesus said? Talking to the Jews. You know, he talked to them about Paul. He talked to them about Paul. He didn't call Paul by name, but he told them what they would do to Paul. He said, I will send you prophets. And he said, some of them you will follow from city to city and persecute them. And that's what they did to Paul. The Jews followed Paul from what? City to city. Exactly what Jesus said. And so Paul was passing through this tremendous persecution. Tremendous. It was overwhelming. It was real. He said, we were crushed down, we were pressed down, we did this. It was of concern to him. He said, you know what I did? I took all of that and my whole life and committed it what? To the hand of God and left it with God. I just committed my life into the hand of God. Just left it with him. So that all those things, they don't bother me no more. They don't worry me anymore. God's got it. God will handle it. After all, God told him, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. Because those kind of things can make you, give you sleepless nights, bother you here and there. No, not with Paul. He said, none of these things move me anymore. I've committed it into the hand of the Lord. And so casting all your worries and cares to the Lord. And then that's lifted from Psalm 55 verse 22. Psalm 55 verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord. Amplified. Cast your burden on who? On the Lord. Release it. Can you say with me, release it? Say it louder, release it. Say it louder one more time, release it. Say it one more time, release it. Say it one more time, release it. Come on, shout with me, release it. Release it. Release it. And he will sustain and uphold you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. But you need to release it. You need to. You need to. It's important that you release it. You know, and some of the things that come under this kind of things, if you have troubled children, troubled husband, troubled wife, troubled boss in your office, troubled career, and all this kind of, you go to the office, they're harassing you and doing all these things. Let me tell you, that's a good place to pray prayer of consecration. That's a wonderful place to say, Lord, all these things happening, I don't understand it. I'll take all of it and do what? Commit into your hand. And once you do that, don't let your mind go there again. Leave it with him. It's always a powerful thing. Very, very powerful. You will see God begin to take over that thing. Because the tendency is because you go to work there and they will do the same thing every day. You go to work there, they will do the same thing every day. So you go home, you're so upset. And No. You cast it to the Lord and say, Lord, over to you. You handle this thing for me. And then you come in and then you realize if they do it, whatever they do, say, God, this is in your hand. That's it. And then you don't begin to revenge or get angry, get upset. No. You know in whom you believe. He's able to keep things that you've committed what? Into his hand. Can I hear amen? You have this troubled children, troubled wife, troubled husband. Why don't you commit me to the hand of the Lord and leave him with God and rejoice? You have situations that overwhelm you. You prayed, you don't know what to do anymore. You just commit it to the hand of the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. All I know. Into your hand, I leave this thing. And I'm not going to bother about it again. There are certain things that happen. You know, when you pastor, there are a lot of things that come on. And it's not just you, because you are pastoring people. There are a lot of issues and problems that people have. That's why many pastors die of heart problems. Because they carry people's load. They don't sleep. So what I do is I say to the Lord, I won't miss a meal. I won't miss a wink. I won't miss a sleep. I won't bother about it. I'm not carrying any burdens. After all, I'm not the God for anybody. I said, all these things I do what? Commit into your hand so I can live my life. And you find a release. Because at the end of the day, he's the one that solves all problems. You're not the one. You're not the one. And that is so powerful. Very, very powerful. If we learn to do this, it's very, very powerful. It really, really works all the time. In Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Do not fret. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. That's the first thing that we're told to do if we want to pray successfully. Do not be anxious or worried about what? Anything. Can you tell somebody what I said? Say it louder again. How many people are worry champions here? Master warriors. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we are not to worry about anything. There's nothing worry does for you. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God, both God and money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? And your heavenly Father Isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. For your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about clothing, about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares for so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Oh, this is my boss. This is my husband. This is my wife. This is my children. All this kind of stuff. Don't worry about them. What did I say? Don't worry about them. Verse 32. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Verse 32. You took it off. Matthew 6, verse 32. Oh, I thought you were reading together. Oh, you didn't have it? Okay, verse 32. Let's read 32 together. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. See, these people who don't know God, they don't have a recourse. They don't have anybody to trust. They don't have anybody to rely on. So they wake up, all they do is it dominates their thinking. It dominates their heart. They say, but you're not like that. You have your heavenly Father who knows all your needs. He knows what they are doing to you in that office. He understands that. He knows what your husband is doing. He knows what your wife is doing. He knows what your child is doing. He knows all of these things. He said, don't fight for yourself. If you want God to fight for you, for God's sake, humble yourself and leave God with the matter. Leave him with the matter. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Are you going to do more than him? You leave him with the matter. He knows. He said, I know all these things. But the heathens who don't know me, they bother themselves about what people do. They did this. Don't bother yourself about stuff like that. It's not worth it. Don't. You know, my wife, in heaven, I will marry her again. My wife. Huh? Man. When I got saved, I told my wife something. I said, how did you live with this animal? Because God opened my eyes to see me. I couldn't believe what I saw. Before then, I thought I was. You know, we do some foolish things. We think we know what we do. That's how we do things that hurt us. We do a lot of things that hurt us. And then when the results begin to come, we blame everybody else. I said to my wife, she's here. I said, how did you live with this animal? Because I looked, if you told me I was like that, I would not believe it. No way. I was chairman of the committee in the church. How can chairman of the committee be this animalistic. My father was pastor. I was preaching in churches. Call me animal. I say no. I was born. We pray in the morning, in the night. I read by animal for where? You know, I said it here one time. You don't know your need. Only God knows your need. I'm telling you. Most of the things that happen to us is what we do. Choices we make. And we think we know what we do. Think we are smart. And God is pitifully looking at us. Pitifully looking at us. You know, there are certain things I do. Even today, I feel like crying. I go to, I say, Lord, am I this childish? Am I this foolish? Up until now? You know? I focus more on myself than anything else. I told my wife, I said, I'm my only problem. I don't have any other problem with any of you. I am my only what? Problem. If I can solve me, I'll be fine. So, I said to my wife, how did you marry this animal? And then you thought that was the end. You know, you grew in distance now. So I was growing out of this. But I was being taught the law and the law. I didn't know the law does not give life. The Bible said the law makes nothing perfect. And growing in the law, I wasn't improving. I was very religious, but was not improving. I didn't know the love of God. I didn't know that the new character and the new life is love. I didn't know. I thought it was religious obligations, and we do a lot of ritualistic things. The key thing in Christianity is life. Is that eternal life that Christ gave us? It's not your rituals and other things. No. No. That's why in the New Testament, the covenant that God gave us, the three key things he mentioned, you will never see any ritual there. No. He said, your sins I forgive. He said, I'll write my laws in your heart. What else did he say? Huh? Is it not covenant you went into? Your sins are the iniquities are what? Then number two, he says, I won't tell you. Won't tell you. Go and look for it. So in that relationship, it was stressful because I was doing a lot of foolish things. I look back today, I feel like crying. Zeal without knowledge is dangerous. Very, very dangerous. There's no humility, nothing. No love, zero, nothing. I so flogged my children that when we came to this country, they still remembered it. I'm not kidding you. I mean, being a Christian for years, and my children said, the way you talk to our mother, we won't talk to our wives like that. I mean, years. See, the law is dangerous. Very dangerous. It won't bring tenderness into your heart. You think you know what you're doing. You think you're wise. Oh, you'll be wise in your own eyes. In that difficult situation, let me tell you what my wife did. Amazing. Awesome. My daughter come. Today is me and my daughter. I have to wait. Come gently. Don't want my daughter to fall. Onyeka, come back again. Maybe you end up being a pastor. Who knows? Go back there. So see what my wife did. You see all that thing I was doing? She took me and then what she did was, when she did that, she turned her eyes away from me. Everything I was doing, you will hear it from her mouth because she wasn't seeing it. Everything. You will hear her talk about. No, she didn't see it because she was focused. She gave me, say, God, take him. Take him. Result, God kept her in perfect peace. Because her eyes, thou will keep him in what? Perfect peace. Whose eyes? Yeah, I was acting. She took, because this is the only one who can cheat this man. All her anger, all her can change this man. Complain, talk to your family. They can change this man. The only person. So what did this man do? He said, your problem is you don't know my son. If you know my son, the Holy Spirit will change you to him. And he began to open eyes. Prayer of consecration is very, very powerful. Otherwise, the devil can finish you. He can raise people to make you miserable. I'm not joking. And they won't know they are being motivated by Satan. Oh, they won't know. When Peter was talking to Jesus, if somebody told Peter that the devil was behind him, he wouldn't believe it. But he was telling Jesus, you don't have to die. You are young. At 30. In our culture, you don't die. You know, in Jewish culture and Igbo culture, if somebody dies young, he's buried immediately. Am I right? Bury him immediately. That's our culture. Because he's not supposed to die young. So what he was telling Jesus made cultural sense. But that was the devil. If you don't understand the prayer of consecration, the devil can make you miserable every day of your life. And he loves to do that. He will give you things to murmur about, things to complain about. You can even talk against God without knowing and suffer the consequence. But when you know the prayer of consecration, you take those things. Somebody shout hallelujah. You take those things and what? Hand over to him and look unto him. His spirit will not keep you in perfect peace while he's taking care of this other thing. And finally, everything will come. Somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah. You know, when I was leading life, that's why it's good to go to Life Center and learn. Learn. If you don't, I want to tell us something. If you want to walk with God, do what Jesus did. Make yourself of no reputation. God does not walk with proud people. People who are proud, they know what they are doing. They always know what they are doing. They never take instruction from anybody. But those who are lowly in heart, they act like children. So, I was going to Life Center, listening to them. Then they gave me Life Center to lead. I never said no to our leaders from the phase that I got saved to today. Never said no. Except once, they wanted me to go plant church somewhere. And the Lord said to me, no, that's not where you go. And I told the pastor, the Lord is speaking to me about somewhere else. And finally, he confirmed it and said, yeah, that's true. So now, a sister came and told me about her job, where the boss wants to sleep with her, but she didn't allow him. So the boss now transferred him to Port Harcourt to punish her. And she told us in the Life Center. And we took that matter. And what? To God. And we said to the Lord, you give the heathens in our place. He will go to Port Harcourt. Our sister will remain in Lagos. Because she had her husband here, the children here. We dislocate this girl. That scripture says you give the heathens for our place. I said, we switch this thing. By Monday, the big boss transferred her boss to Port Harcourt. I'm telling you the real story. Transferred her boss to Port Harcourt. Committing to his, you know, it's easy to complain, talk about what he did. Blah, blah, blah. I said, don't talk to anybody. Don't fall into the trap of murmuring and complaining. It will attract demons into your life. It does. I'm telling you. That's why Christian maturity is important. Because if you don't mature, you won't know the value of tongues. You think you are free. Look, God gave us this thing, but you're not free to use it anyhow. Because it can kill you. It can destroy you. Praise the Lord. Church, I said praise the Lord. So, how many minutes do I have? Okay. Am I communicating? So we need to learn to do prayer of consecration. It's a prayer with all manner of prayers. This is one of them. Pause. And Jesus, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, what he did. He gave us this wonderful invitation in Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, not Mark. Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. Then Jesus said, come what? Unto me. All you who are, if you are tired now, you've been praying, you are tired. Hey, come. Who are weary and carry what? Then what will I give you? Rest. Remember what I showed you. I mean, can you imagine a wife with this kind of man? Anger. Woo! My middle name was Anger. I was very angry. And I couldn't tell why. Anger. I would speak to her in anger. Speak to everybody in anger. Anger. And I saw. Anything you did, I'll judge it. I will argue and argue. You can't win. If we didn't end the argument today, tomorrow I'll come back. Because I must convince you. I'm telling you the truth. You know what I was singing this morning? I just was thanking God for his mercy. I said, Lord, wow, that I'm here. Your mess. Period. Remember, so that was the burden. That was a serious burden. Your husband. It's a burden. The anger was reflecting on my children, was reflecting on everybody. We will go to a meeting. I will carry that anger and be hollering them, telling them we should pray here. We should do this. We call ourselves pastors. We never spoke in love. Yet the Bible says, speak the truth in what? Did I know love? Did I know Christ? Religion. I didn't value love. Didn't value... No, those things didn't mean anything. But because my eyes was blinded. So I would speak to them in pastor's meeting, you know, try to correct them what they should do. And God was patient with me. I told you this story. One day we were in a meeting, he opened my eyes and my ears. For the first time, I heard them. And he said to me, he said, you come with this, your ignorance here. He said, before you come to this meeting, do you pray? I said, no. He said, do you know they have been praying for this meeting before they came? And you come here to tell them we didn't pray. He said, they've been praying. You didn't pray. And he said, when you come, every time you come, they ask you, how is your wife? How are your children? Say, have you ever asked them, how are they? I said, no. He said, do you know they pray for you every day? Yep. And so this was a burden. Jesus said, bring it to me. And she had that invitation and took this burden. Say, husband, man, he's the father of my children. Took this burden. Can't carry it. Give to him. And God gave her rest. Say, if you give it to me, the first thing I'll give you what? Rest. And the Bible says we should labor to enter his rest. He gives that rest because it's a rest you don't manufacture. You don't manufacture it. And until that rest comes, go back and say, Lord, it looks like I still have this body. No. Lord, I give it to you. I'm telling you what you should do. Until that rest comes, you should go back and say, Lord, I don't think I say. I think I still have this body. Because the rest is not settled yet. Because you don't manufacture these things or pretend that it, no, it's real. If he gives you that rest, it begins to guard your heart and your mind. In the midst of all that, you can sleep. Until you have it, you need to go back and say, Lord, I don't think I've handed this over to you. I think I've not got it right. Lord, I give it back to you again. Lord, take it. You get what I'm saying? Because it says, I will give you rest. And then when he gave her rest, no matter what I did, I went to Lagos. They were talking about her. I'm a preacher. And they're talking about my wife, who is thousands of miles away. Talking about her, giving testimonies about her. I said, I'm the one that came to preach. Ah! Nobody talked about it. I'm just joking. But they were talking. They said to me, and this is true. They say, Mommy is a model of peace. He says she's solid in her faith. She says to rattle her is not easy. All the women were saying the same thing. Say, we miss her. Say, she modeled peace. And that's true. Absolutely true. Because the peace of God that God gives to those who hand their burdens what? Over to him. Over to him. They're always in peace. And then the devil has lost those people because he can't make them miserable because they're not seeing what they're doing. It doesn't talk, they don't talk about him. They don't talk about what he's doing. They're talking about the goodness of God, the message of God, and what their testimony is about, because it's God they're looking at. It's God they're looking at all the time. Now, Jesus Christ said at the cross, he said, Father, into thy, I didn't hear you. Into thy hand, I what? I hand it over to you, prayer of consecration. I hand it over to you. I'm going to the grave. Because the Bible said, God said, I will not let his body to see corruption. Give it to God. So I hand it over to you. I'm ready to go. That stayed fast. Love of